Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we were diving into recapping a few standout moments from the previous week before treating you to a song that hints at the intriguing personality of our special guest for today. Joining us today is Margaret Rusfeld, who will be sharing inspirational insights with us. Following that, I will introduce you to a special book, and to wrap things up, we will open the floor to a very interesting survey, which tells us a lot about nowadays world and what happens on this planet. So let's dive into what's happening today. We start today with Margaret Rusfeld, who is a very well-known pioneer in educating, and not just educating, but also further educating. She has started her career here, as I know, or many of the people know, in Germany as a head of a special school in Berlin. Her career not even started there, but she has been well-known since then because she is a pioneer for educating people in a way that brings them into their potential. Some of you might know that Germany is also well known in the history for great education. From Montessori to other pioneers, we have a great tradition in education, which is taking kids not as minor people, but taking kids as rich kids in a way of rich people, in a way of full thinking, a full variety of beliefs, and not these limitations we as adults have. Margaret is the one who sees this. She sees the limitations of nowadays education and sees this, what is a tendency also in the world, that young people have to find again into their potential, find into this gift which is given them by birth. So I'm happy to start now with a song Margaret sorted out. And let's dive into that and listen to this, because this song means a lot to her.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair, she broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Well, really, what's it to you? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter. wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth, I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah, is a song which is really having an intricate story, both in its creation and its journey to fame. Written over the course of several years and completed in 1984, Hallelujah was initially met with limited success. Cohen reportedly spent years working on the lyrics, revising verses, and refining the song until it contained over 80 verses at one point. The song appeared on his album Various Positions in 1984, which was released to little fanfare, with even Columbia Records declining to release the album in the US initially. Hallelujah was only recognized in niche circles, but over the years, it slowly built momentum through various cover versions by different artists, eventually reaching legendary status. Leonard Cohen's life and career were as complex as the song itself. Born in Montreal, Canada, in 1934, Cohen was a poet and novelist before he ventured into music in his 30s. His lyrics often reflect deep themes like love, faith, struggle, and spirituality. In Hallelujah, Cohen weaves a tapestry of these elements, blending biblical references with reflections on human nature, love, and divine. The song's title, Hallelujah, traditionally expresses praise or joy, yet Cohen's lyrics explore both the ecstasy and agony of life. Cohen's battle with depression and his introspective nature shine through in the lyrics, contributing to the song's haunting beauty and appeal. One of the most poignant lines in Hallelujah is, "Love is not a victory march, it's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah," which captures the bittersweet and often painful reality of love. Another iconic line, "Maybe there is a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you," explores the disillusionment that sometimes accompanies love. These lines stand out for their rawness, revealing Cohen's ability to find light in the darkness and beauty and brokenness. I think it's very actual. And Margaret, thank you so much for sorting out this song for us. It gives me always goosebumps here at my skin when I listen to this, and it makes me crying and it makes me laughing. But it shows also how strong music can be. Can you tell us a little bit about the reason why you've sorted out the song? Kannst du uns ein bisschen erzählen, warum du das ausgesucht hast?
Ja, einmal habe ich es ausgesucht, weil ich auch immer Schauer bekomme, wenn ich es höre. Und auch wegen der ganzen Geschichte, die du gerade erzählt hast. Er hat ja jahrelang dran geschrieben, dann wurde es nicht angenommen, aber er hat nicht aufgegeben und ist so ein bisschen wie die Transformation des Schulsystems. Plötzlich greifen einige das auf und dann auf einmal, wumms, ist die Welt ergriffen. Ja, und überhaupt der ganze Mensch, es interessiert mich sehr und ich bewundere ihn sehr. Ja.
Margaret just says that for her, this song is a little bit a symbol for how life is, but also how education system is. She says that life is sometimes also some bittersweet, and we have to face also challenges all the time, and we should never give up. And we should face also that life is a kind of bittersweet. It's not always just, not always just positive or not always just negative, but it's about us that we never give up, and that we understand that life is good and bad and includes both of them. And she said that it's also symbolic for that what happens or has to happening now in education system, that we find back to ourselves, that we get children a chance to find back to themselves, where they are from, to the greatness, to the freedom, to the ideas of how to live with the nature and in unification with the nature. Margaret is, as I said, a pioneer in education, and she did great things. I'm really a fan of her, and she holds huge conference halls, just in the way she's standing there and just saying a few sentences, which is really true, because most of the people just making a loud and deep around them, she's managing to say just a few words, and the people applauding her because she's putting everything into the essence. Margaret, was there a time in your life which was the time which you would say it was a kind of awakening for you, wo du sagtest, yes, that's now the point where I have to go the way, whatever it needs, whatever it makes with me, whatever people say, I don't care.
Also die ganze Geschichte der Schultransformation hat sich so Schritt für Schritt ergeben. Ich habe aber immer mit den Kindern gearbeitet, immer in Projekten. Der erste
It was a step by step. So she had always worked with kids. So it was a kind of transformation.
Und der erste Schritt war, jetzt werde ich Schulleiterin, um mehr
okay. Impact was, zu haben. Who's the head of director of the school?
Das war in Essen an einer Schule im sozialen Brennpunkt, die wir dann schon komplett anders aufgebaut haben.
She said it was at a school in Essen. It is in the area of Germany where there's a lot of old industry. So this area was very rich in the past before it went into deep unemployment and a huge amount of people with migration background. She just said it was a school with really social burning point, where she started transforming the whole school.
Genau, und dann kam der Ruf nach Berlin.
And then she got the call.
Und da wusste ich im Zug, als ich mein Umzugsauto fuhr, ja daneben, da habe ich gespürt, da wusste ich innerlich, jetzt geht's in die Breite. Und von Berlin aus geht die Bewegung los.
She said it was sitting in her car, and next to her was the moving car, so with all the things for the move in the car. And that was the situation where she realized, now the next big thing will start. And it was this feeling which went into truth, which gave her the strong, strong idea that this is the start of something big. Margaret, gab es auf dem Weg Menschen, die dir viel bedeutet haben, die dir Role Model auch waren? Were there people which were standing next to you, where you learned from, but which were maybe also supporter to you, which are still standing next to you? Maybe names we know, maybe also unknown names. I already said that there are also students, school students, which are standing next to you. Yeah, which are the best supporters for you?
Also ich bin ja Bildung, also mich hat geprägt die 68er, also die Ökologiebewegung, Friedensbewegung, Frauenbewegung in meiner Studentenzeit. Die hat mich sehr geprägt. Und dann hat mich noch geprägt Ruth Kohn mit themenzentrierter Interaktion. Ich habe da eine Ausbildung gemacht und bin dadurch in ganz andere Welten gekommen, die ich nicht kannte. Ich stamme aus so einem sogenannten bildungsfernen Haushalt. Das war sehr wichtig für mich.
She said that she comes from a family which stood away from education. So education was not a topic in her family. But she said that she gets her engagement and also everything what drives her from the 60s, from 80, 68, 60, 80s, so from this movement where students stood up for ecology, for environment, for a better life, for the same rights for women and men, for queer also, for all this, what it means to stand up against tradition and traditional old rules systems. She also said that Ruth Cohn made a lot with her. She studied the topic-centered interaction. This is a method from Ruth Cohn. And Margaret, maybe some of our listeners have no idea what Ruth Cohn topic-centered interaction is. Can you explain this maybe in 3 sentences?
Yeah. Also in Schule wird normalerweise belehrt und in Schule befinden sich Gruppen. Und Ruth Cohn sagt, Gefühle spielen eine Rolle und ich und die Gruppe. Und so hat sie das Dreiecksmodell erfunden. Wichtig ist das Thema, das Ich, die Gruppe und drumherum natürlich der Glaube. Wofür sind wir auf der Welt? Was ist unsere Aufgabe? Wofür sind wir unterwegs? Was wir heute auch Nachhaltigkeit nennen würden. Und dazu
she said this is a triangle, which Ruth Cohn's topic-centered interaction is it about. So it's about me and the group and everything around. So it gives also us this idea of a holistic approach. And she's saying that this is also, of course, part of this idea of sustainability in this holistic approach, where everything goes in, what we're talking currently also about it, but with the roots of the political understanding, but also about societal change. And Margaret, if you should describe in a few words, what is the difference of your idea of school and education to the old and traditional idea of school and education?
Mm-hmm. The traditional is, die Schüler sind eingestuhlt, die sitzen auf einem Stuhl, werden fremdbestimmt, ja, dauerbewertet mit Ziffern, kognitiv überfrachtet und abgeschnitten von Herz und Körper.
Ja, das ist, she's bringing it to the point with the answer. She's saying the students, as soon as they get into school, it's not just a school, it's like a sitting on a chair. So they start and sitting on the chair. They are not allowed to do what they want, whenever they want. It is about analytical understanding. It is about listening, but not doing. And it's about not creating their potential or unfolding their potential. It's more sitting there where somebody told them to sit, doing what somebody told them to do, and not to lift the potential which is inside you. Margaret, I mean, we are facing still so many schools, the majority, not only in Germany, but also in the whole world, where we see this traditional ways of education. Why is this the fact? Why aren't we further? We have so many, or we had so many great educators, philosophers, who said so great things, and like Montessori, for example, and others, where we saw, where we could see what it makes with kids if you give them the freedom. Why don't we have more of that?
Ich glaube, weil wir alle durch dieses System gegangen sind, unsere Kreativität verloren haben, nicht an uns glauben dadurch auch und keine Vorstellung haben, wie Schule anders sein könnte. Er lernt die Hilflosigkeit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She says something. I hope that I can translate it in English into English with the phrase she said. She said it's a learned not knowing. So it is. She said that we do just this what we've learned. So it's not that we want to press the young people into a corset, and that we want to push them, that we want to wound them, that we want to do something against them. But we've learned it that hard way, and it's just what we are doing to the kids is that what we learned. And instead of understanding that we have to give them the freedom and chance to grow in a better way, we're just doing the same mistakes our parents did. And there we are at the point where we get into the first break. I'm looking forward to seeing you back in a few minutes and hearing more about Margaret Rosfeld, the pioneer in education. Thank you. Seeing you in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good.
optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the second part of the talk with a pioneer in education, Margaret Rusfeld. She's not only a pioneer in education, worldwide known for her really outstanding effort in bringing kids back to creating their potential, but also accepting kids as really humans. She has also published a book, and we will talk later about it a bit more in detail when I present the book also here. But for now, Margaret, in your book, you prepared also postcards next to the book, and on this postcard, there's a quotation of a kid which expresses his pain, what it means to go to school. When I look back into my school, it's just a dark time, a very dark time. I can't remember any day in my school life which was a day with light. I hated every day, and I went to school crying, and if somebody would have asked me, what is your biggest wish? I would have said burning my school or burning every school and giving freedom to the kids. What could we do about these kids, Margaret? We can't currently help everybody. I mean, it's great that they're expressing with words how they feel, that they are not frightened to not saying anything. But how can we help this? What can parents do who can't afford maybe a good school, living in an area where they can't sort out a school, and their kids have to go to a school which feels like prison?
Ja, die Eltern müssen sich erstmal auf den Schmerz einlassen, glaube ich, weil viele Eltern sagen auch Augen zu und durch, hat ja auch nicht geschadet, wollen unbedingt Abitur. Deswegen haben diese Briefe, die sind ja einmalig, viele haben ja auch Angst, sich zu äußern, ein Schatz, der uns einmal durchs, Otto Schama würde sagen, einmal durchs U bringt. Also einmal an die wirklichen Gefühle, um frei zu werden, damit wir alle gemeinsam jetzt in dieses Neue gehen können.
Margaret says that it needs, of course, the parents. It needs the parents, not knowledge. It needs the parents' emotions. It needs them to be open for that. And this is not a question of salary. This is not a question how wealthy you are. This is a question how sensitive you are as a parent to just feel the pain of your kid and understand the pain of your kid and understand that this pain doesn't have to be. And she said that many parents say, okay, pain is necessary at one point, or it it hasn't been bad to anybody. Or I had to feel also this pain at school. It was also a painful time for me. So pain can make your heart and good for life. So this is often also the idea that it needs some of this pain to understand that you are hard enough to manage challenges later on. But she said it's important that the people understand that it's about the right of the young people, that they don't need to feel pain, that pain shouldn't be the follower for every day. And she said, this must be the first. And she said, if you read these letters of these kids, then it is really not only honesty which comes out of that, it is also a huge, huge braveness which you can show out through this. Because a lot of these kids are frightened to write these letters. They are frightened to even express their feelings because they must understand, or we must understand, that often in their parenthoods, there's no understanding for these feelings. Such as Margaret said, okay, you have to go through, that's just what I had to face. Or and they say, okay, we can't change anything, that's a school you have to be at, so just shut your mouth and be quiet and do what they say. But it is of course not only the punishment from teachers to kids, it is also that kids give this punishment they feel, or the sadness, being frightened, being aggressive, that they behave against others. What can we do there, Margaret?
Zum Glück gibt es immer mehr Eltern, die sich darauf einlassen können. Und viele kennen aber nicht neue Lernformate. Ich habe ja neue Lernformate erfunden, wie den Friday, Verantwortung, Herausforderung. Wenn die das hören, dann sagen die, was, so kann Schule sein? Also wir müssen noch viel mehr das Neue verbreiten, was ja schon da ist. Und dann müssen wir in die Lehrerausbildung gehen, die Themen haben zum Beispiel. Und an Haltung arbeiten, das passiert jetzt peu à peu auch, aber eigentlich müsste es so wie so Influencer geben, die, du bist ja eine, Annabelle, die einfach zeigen, es ist alles da, auch die gesetzlichen Grundlagen sind da und lass uns jetzt einen großen, großen Bund sozusagen bilden, nicht gegeneinander, sondern alle miteinander, Schritt für Schritt.
Yeah, it is very important what Margaret says. She says, first of all, we have all things. We have the legal ground. We have everything from the topics. We have also from the experiences, everything. We have also everything from educators in the past we can build on. We have all sources. We have even also money. But she said it's something which is more than just competencies. It's a kind of standing for something. And she said that it's also about giving further education to the teachers, that they not only understand the analytical part, but also the part by heart, that they not stay here with their brain about I have to, I must, and this is something I have to, but that they understand that it's about human, humanity, about also giving chances. And she said that it's important that we have influencer in this way, which are understanding not only the idea of education, but also the idea of the meaning for the society, meaning for the planet, meaning for that what we name also our future. And she said that it's about togetherness, that it's not about you are there and I'm there, we are competitors, or we are fighting against each other. She said we need a better understanding, we need a better building together step by step, because she said it's not about the big idea at first, it needs to get step by step. And Margaret, you are working internationally. You started in Germany. You said you started in Essen in a social burning point school. You went to Berlin, to the capital city. You brought it then into the world. Are you working internationally also with other institutions? Because what we are talking here about, or what you were starting in Germany, this is a problem or a challenge worldwide, isn't it?
Ja, aber da mein Englisch nicht so perfekt ist, Und ich so gefragt bin im deutschsprachigen Raum. Ich bin ja jede Woche mehrfach unterwegs. Ich schicke ja auch die Schülerinnen und Schüler, die sind ja auch die Botschafter. Also wenn, ich war auch in Bangkok, in Korea schon. Aber jetzt schicke ich meistens meine Ex-Schülerinnen dorthin, weil die sind jung, die können direkt die ganzen Verbindungen knüpfen und die können außer der Sache können die noch sagen, was es mit ihnen gemacht hat. Und die haben eine hohe Berührungsfähigkeit dadurch. Also ich bin ja im deutschsprachigen Raum, aber Jamila, Ivy und einige andere gehen auch international.
Margaret says that she has ambassadors and the best ambassadors ever, which are her school students, which went into her school. So they're not even ambassadors in the way to talk about that, what they experience, but they're also samples of that or standing for that, what school can make with you when you had a chance to visit a school like this with this creating, which helps you creating your potential, shaping your potential. She said that it's not her who goes into the world mostly, it's her students which she sent into the world. Because first she said it's her English, but she told me beforehand that she gave also keynotes already in English, and she went to Bangkok and other cities worldwide. But she said that it's also this generation she wants to stay for in the front. And Margaret is also the one who supported students that in the young age they already stood up, were leading conferences, and also writing books. There is one book in Germany which tells from the perspective of school students how school should be. And I have to say, reading this book again and again, it's as a first time, it makes me crying, crying for the chances we have and crying for the bads we have. Because from my point of view, we can avoid wars, we can avoid conflicts, we can avoid these power games. If we would have would give children the chance, teacher the chance to understand that it's a holistic way of understanding of bringing people into their potential, if we understand it from the world from another side. Would you correct me, or do you want to add there something, or would you sign this, what I said?
Ja, ich genau so ist es. Und wir haben ja in Berlin 2009, also schon vor langer Zeit, Lehrerfortbildung durch Schüler eingeführt. Jeden Monat kommen 100 Lehrer oder auch Hochschulprofessoren und es passieren unglaubliche Dinge, weil die so sehr die Herzen berühren und begeistern. Dass so die Schulreformbewegung in Deutschland maßgeblich über diese Lehrerfortbildung durch 13-jährige SchülerInnen erfolgt ist. In der Zeit stand als Überschrift Mauern in den Köpfen einreißen.
Wow, that's amazing. Margaret is giving a title of a well-known German magazine, a newspaper. It's Zeit magazine, which said breaking the walls down. And she said it is so effective and so touching because seeing that school students are teaching teachers, and teachers understand completely new ideas from the mouth of students, understand completely better, much, much better what it makes with them if they are treated in a bad way. And interestingly, she said every month 13 years old school students are teaching 100 teacher and are the ambassadors by themselves, but are also preparing adult ambassadors by teaching them. And you could imagine that these teachers felt a little bit like, ooh, what they want teaching to me, this is a bit weird. But it's vice versa. I mean, I can tell you about this because I faced that and I talked with some of these teachers which got this further education. And they were not only happy that they could do this further education by kids, they were gifted and they were thankful. And it was a little bit like sacrificed, where they said, I was so touched having in front of me a 13-year-old kid telling me what it makes with this kid when I'm just allowing the kid that the kid can raise the hand one time in an hour and the other time. The kid has to shut up, and that all kids have to concentrate on the same topic. topic, on the same page, on everything by being so different. And the teacher said, when I was home, I started crying because I felt so ashamed of what I did to so many kids. And if this is a waking moment, I'm super happy about that. Margaret, I mean, you get a lot of happiness, I think, through this, what you can move. But I can imagine reading all this letter of desperate kids, of kids which are frightened, of kids which may really get aggressive to themselves, which get into drugs, which get into criminality, and where you can't help everybody. How can you get and stay resilient with that? Do you have maybe three hacks, three tips for us, how you can stay resilient with facing so much also pain?
Ich bin ja, also ich sehe Fortschritte, ist das eine. Ich bin zuversichtlich, weil das System ist so in der Erschöpfung. Überhaupt, alle Systeme sind in der Erschöpfung. Ja. Und das Alte erschöpft sich und das Neue kommt. Und insofern geben mir also diese Briefe jetzt zum Beispiel, die ja so erschütternd sind, die haben mir eigentlich ganz viel Kraft gegeben, dass ich nicht aufgebe. Und ich merke ja, wie diese Briefe und die Schüleraussagen, die Schülerinnenaussagen, die Menschen zum Weinen bringen. Und insofern ist das für mich eigentlich ein Schatz. Ein großer Schatz, der mich auch sehr betrübt, aber wir arbeiten ja damit. Das Zweite ist von Ruth Kohn jetzt vielleicht, fällt mir ein. Du bist nicht allmächtig, du bist nicht ohnmächtig, aber das, was du kannst und wofür du auf der Welt bist, das tue und dafür wirst du gebraucht. Mhm. Also jeder an seinem Platz schaut, was bringe ich mit, was ist meine Gabe und wie kann ich mit dieser Gabe aktiv werden? Und ganz viele zusammen bilden dann aus einem Tropfen plötzlich einen Fluss und ein Meer und so weiter. Die Zeit ist da, auch die Zeit von Meditation. Wir können Empathie lernen. Alles das, was es vor 10 Jahren ja noch nicht gab oder wo du in der ESO-Ecke standest, dann ist ja jetzt da und das können wir jetzt nutzen. Und insofern habe ich doch Hoffnung, dass wir jetzt einen Schritt in ein anderes Bewusstsein tun können. Und dafür braucht man ja auch erstmal nur eine Minderheit.
That's right. Thank you so much, Margaret. I will translate it. So she said her three tips are, yes, dealing with all of this pain is touching, but also in a way which gives her the power and the energy to work further. And we should all see it that way. If we see and face something bad, it should give us the power to know that we can do it further, get better, and we can make a difference. Second, she said, because of Ruth Kohn saying it, or as Ruth Kohn is saying this with her topic-centered interaction, nobody can do everything, but everybody has his place. So it's just about finding your place, because at your place, you can move words, and it's just about finding your place. And we are maybe a drop, but together we are an ocean, and an ocean can make the world a better place. And she said, the time is there for change. The old systems are not working anymore. We are in the middle of this change, and it's great knowing this. And of course, change means crises too. So we have to overcome this together. But the good thing is that with empathy, with meditation, with all these things where in the past we said it's esoterical and bad stuff, we today say it's belief, it's spirituality, it's good and fruitful for every body and brain and the soul. And this gives us resilience, this gives us empathy, and this gives us a new togetherness. Thank you so much, Margaret, for being our guest here. In one of our next shows, I will present your book. It's really touching. And thank you very much. I'm very, very much looking forward to cooperating with you and being your ambassador with your ideas on bringing the energy and the power back to the kids. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Annabelle. Thank you.
So now we get into the next break, and afterwards you can look forward to a great, great book, which is Connect the Dots. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again after a small break, and then we talk further.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So now we move on with Connect the Dots on the book of Dr. Christian Busch, The Art and Science of Creating Good Luck. Connect the Dots by Dr. Christian Busch is a compelling exploration of serendipity, the art and science of turning unexpected moments into meaningful opportunities. Busch dives into the concept of smart luck, encouraging readers to recognize the potential within random events and unexpected encounters. Unlike traditional self-help books that focus solely on planned strategies, Connect the Dots emphasizes being open to the unplanned. With practical advice and real-life stories, curiosity, and an adaptable mindset. The book is both insightful and inspiring, blending science with personal anecdotes to make a case for embracing unpredictability as a path to success. Busch's approach is refreshing, especially in a world that often celebrates rigid planning. For those looking to unlock new possibilities, this book is a valuable guide to harnessing the hidden potential of everyday's life. Dr. Christian Busch is an influential figure in the field of social entrepreneurship and innovation. Originally from Germany, Busch's early curiosity about human behavior and social change were spurred by his upbringing and exposure to diverse cultures. His background includes extensive work in academia and the social impact sector, including positions as the director of the Global Economy Program at New York University and co-founder of Leaders on Purpose. Busch is also known for his dedication to understanding and promoting the power of positive change through networks and partnerships. His fascination with serendipity stems from his personal journey, where he noticed that many successful people had a unique ability to turn chance encounters into life-changing opportunities. This inspired him to study and teach how individuals and organizations can foster these opportunities intentionally. With Connect the Dots, Busch combines his personal insights and research to encourage readers to look beyond conventional paths and discover the potential of serendipity. Connect the Dots was born from Busch's deep-seated belief that luck is not just a random occurrence, but something we can actively cultivate. Throughout his career, Busch observed that people who embrace uncertainty and seize unexpected opportunities often create more fulfilling and impactful lives. Witnessing this pattern in various sectors, from business to academia to personal relationships, inspired Bush to codify these observations into a framework that could help others. He wanted to debunk the myth that luck is entirely beyond our control and instead offer practical methods to invite serendipity. The book is both a guide and a manifesto for anyone who wishes to tap into life's unexpected moments and turn them into purpose-driven success. By writing Connect the Dots, Bush hopes to empower readers to reframe randomness as a source of potential and growth. I give you 7 tips from the books now. Cultivate an opportunist mindset. Approach life with curiosity and openness to unexpected moments. Second, reframe setbacks as opportunities. Use failures and challenges as a chance to find new and meaningful paths. Third, embrace small risks. Take calculated risks in daily interactions to open the door to serendipity. Fourth, practice hook strategy. So mention your current interest or project in casual conversations to invite unexpected help or insights. Fifth, connect beyond your comfort zone. Engage with people outside your usual circles to discover new perspectives and opportunities. 6. Set serendipity triggers. Design situations in your life where unexpected connections are more likely to happen, like attending diverse events. 7. Stay adaptable. Be ready to shift plans when unexpected, valuable opportunities arise. And now I want to end and go into reading of the book with 5 quotes from the author. First, serendipity isn't just luck. It is a skill that can be cultivated and nurtured in our everyday life. Some of the most meaningful moments come from embracing the unpredictable rather than fearing it. A closed door can sometimes be an invitation to find a better path, if you're willing to look for it. Building a serendipity mindset means allowing yourself to be surprised by what you might find. Life's most transformative connections often start with a simple conversation in the most unexpected places. This book offers a refreshing perspective for anyone wanting to invite. So I would like to read out of that. And it's very hard to find the right place to start because the book is great. It is a lot of text, but I always start with the beginning. I'm always surprised when I see people who have been successful and they're absolutely convinced that it's all because they were so smart. And I'm always saying, well, I worked hard and I've got some talent, but there are a lot of hardworking, talented people out there, aren't they? There was this element of chance to it, of serendipity. And you want to see if you can maybe figure out how to sprinkle that stardust on other people. Barack Obama. We all like to feel like we're masters of our own destiny, aren't we? To be in control of our future, to know how we will reach our goals and ambitions. In short, we all like to have a plan. The seemingly innate human desire to map out our future is reflected in almost every aspect of modern life. Organizations, governments, and every one of us all structure our activities around the plans, strategies, and targets that we make. We construct routines, rules, and processes, from setting the alarm clock to organizing national elections to ensure that those plans come to fruition. But are we really in control of our lives? Despite all of our planning, modeling, and strategizing, there appears to be another factor at work, the unexpected. In fact, unforeseen events, chance meetings or seemingly bizarre coincidences are not just minor distractions of sprigs of grit in our well-oiled lives. The unexpected is often the critical factor. It is the force that makes the greatest difference to our lives and our futures. Perhaps, if you have one, you met your spouse by coincidence or came just across your new job or new flight by accident. Did you meet your future co-founder or investor by chance? Or did you randomly pick up a magazine just to find exactly what you needed to know to solve a problem? How did such moments, big or small, change your life? How might your life have played out had everything just come according to plan? Wealth are won or lost, companies thrive or collapse, and love is found or lost or in turn of the unexpected. Whatever our ambitions in life, whether finding business success, love, joy, or spiritual meaning, we are prone to coincidental encounters. The most mundane moment, like running into someone in the gym, can change your life. Even in the rigorous world of scientific research, the power of the unexpected is almost always at play. Studies suggest that around 30 to 50% of major scientific breakthroughs emerge as the result of accident or coincidences. One chemical spills into another. Cells combine in dirty petri dishes. There's a chance encounter between experts whose incidental conversation sparks new insights. The greatest opportunities for individuals and organizations alike are often a matter of serendipity. So, does most success boil down to blind luck, to success or failure, robbed simply by chance rather than through our own actions? No. Intuitively, we sense that this isn't true either. While we recognize that the greatest turning points and transformative opportunities in our lives often seem to occur by chance, some people just seem to have more luck and subsequently more success and joy than others. This isn't just a modern phenomenon either. Chemist and biologist Louis Pasteur found that chance favors the prepared mind. The military leader and emperor Napoleon Bonaparte said he would rather have lucky generals than good ones. And the Roman writer and statesman Seneca believed that luck is a matter of preparation meeting opportunity. Their beliefs are reflect the idea that while chance and real force, there's more to life than blind luck. Indeed, the word fortune can refer to both success and luck. Even commonplace phrases such as you make your own luck or he's a man with an eye for the main chance all point to the idea that success in life depends on interaction, a synthesis between pure chance and human effort. What is really going on here? Are some people able to create the conditions for positive coincidences to happen more often than others? Are they better to spot and grasp these moments and turn them into positive outcomes? Can our education and approach to work and life equip us with the most important skill of all? The ability to navigate the unexpected and make our own smart luck? This is a book about the interactions of coincidence, human ambition, and imagination. It is a book about serendipity. This can be best defined as unexpected good luck resulting from unplanned moments in which proactive decisions lead to positive outcomes. Serendipity is the hidden force in the world, and it is present all around us, from the smallest day-to-day events to life-changing and sometimes world-changing breakthroughs. However, only a few of us, including many of the people you will meet in this book, have deciphered this code and developed the mindset needed to turn the unexpected into a success and a force for good. Once we realize that serendipity is not just about a coincidence that just happens to us, but is actually the process of spotting and connecting the dots, do we start to see bridges where others see gaps? Only then does serendipity start happening all the time in our lives. And there I want to stop with this book where I could continue reading because this book is great, even if there is so little illustrations in, but it creates some stories in your mind. And for the last minutes we have here, I would like to share with you something which is addressing, where addressing of this is super important. It is about diverse affair survey highlights the need for addressing intersectional bias in AI and artificial intelligence. As the artificial intelligence sector rapidly evolves, the need for specialized training and education has become critical. The DiversiFair project, funded under the Erasmus scheme, aims to address two primary concerns. Funded under the Erasmus schemes, the shortage shows the shortage of AI experts skilled in recognizing and addressing algorithm bias, and the necessity of incorporating an intersectional approach to fairness and equality in artificial intelligence. Our recent survey conducted as a part of the Diversify project sheds light on the current state of awareness and perceptions of intersectional bias in the artificial intelligence community. Intersectional bias refers to the convergence of various forms of discrimination, such as racism, sexism, ableism, and colonialism, and which impact individuals with multiple social identities. In artificial intelligence systems, this translates to unfair treatment of those facing multiple forms of discrimination. The survey conducted in 2024 surveyed the artificial intelligence community at large, including professionals and practitioners. Here are some of the key insights to end up the show with that. Insufficient awareness of intersectional bias. While 59% of respondents reported experiencing discrimination based on multiple characteristics, only 15% were familiar with the concept of intersectional biases through artificial intelligence. Despite high familiarity with the technologies, there's limited engagement with this idea that artificial intelligence can support biases, can support discrimination. Recognition of bias risk. A significant majority, over 80%, acknowledged the risk of artificial intelligence systems perpetuating existing biases, particularly related to gender, race, and socioeconomic status. Interestingly, 58% of those who disagreed with this risk worked in the technology. Public awareness. An overwhelming 87% believe that there's insufficient public awareness and education necessary. So, looking ahead shows that there's urgent need for ongoing education and awareness efforts within artificial intelligence community regarding intersectional discrimination. And this is important to face because we are moving forward with artificial intelligence. We often think that there is a cautious optimism about artificial intelligence potential to promote equality, continuous learning, and engagement. And this is crucial. But we must prioritize fairness and mitigate biases on all artificial intelligence applications to build trust and ensure equitable artificial intelligence systems. To complete this system, and we have to make sure that more women and more people from queer areas, also more people from rural cultures, are stepping into this field of artificial intelligence programming to have their a more diverse background. And this is important and brings us to an end of today's show. And this is important that you bring your activities in, that you not stay calm, that you move, that if you have a book, you let us know, and that you remember this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights for you and for others. Don't hesitate to get involved. Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together we rise. Thank you.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music.